It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right, here we are. Episode 194 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am now 51% owner of the Ron and Brian podcast. Joined by my 49% cohort, Brian. Brian, how are you this week, my friend?
To say that I don't feel equal, if that's what you're asking. I definitely feel separate. You're in Philly. I'm in New York.
All right. Yeah.
You know, since we last recorded the last episode, the Super Bowl took place.
Did it.
It was, by many accounts, an exciting game. You know, they said it was good. One of the, you know, it went down to, you know, the last couple minutes. Fortunes were made. Hearts were broken.
Definitely.
Point after touchdowns were missed. How in a Super Bowl do you miss a point after?
So, and not only that, Brian, those of you who watched the podcast last Sunday realized that Brian threw a wager out there. And again, this was unprompted. I had nothing to do with this. Brian, you wagered 1% of the podcast. You took the Rams minus 4 points. And like you said, that missed extra point made all the difference. So now I have taken that 1% back that I generously gave to you last year. I gave you that 1%. Yes. We were back at a 50-50 mix. I gave it back to you. You were foolish enough to wager it. And to the victor, go the spoils, which the victor would be me. And the spoils would be all that sweet, sweet extra cash that comes in from having that additional 1% of the podcast. But I'm not going to rub your nose in it, Brian. I'm going to be humble about it. And I don't feel I'm being showy. I'm not showing off this extra wealth into. No, I'm not like that. So you and me, we're still good.
You are taking the moral high road. Mm-hmm. That's the part that I appreciate the most. You're handling this with grace, class.
Love you, my friend. Should we?
No. You don't love me. You love my ability to be addicted to the rush of a bet, knowing that odds are, statistically speaking, that I will lose said bet.
That is correct. That is one of the many things I love that I love about you.
And I'm surprised to actually hear that Janelle has such a short memory.
That is true. If you would go back, this is also going back about a year.
That was episode 52.
Brian purchased these hoodies for us, these $100 bill hoodies, but unfortunately failed to realize that this was a children's size. I'm actually going to just stand up real quick so you can see that it really barely covers my stomach. The arms aren't long enough. I'm packed into this thing. It's incredibly uncomfortable, but I am wearing it for the joke. I mean, come on. It's worth it.
Well, the story was that, I mean, in my own defense, I was inebriated when I purchased these. We were watching a rough and rowdy pay-per-view boxing event, and one of the boxers came out wearing a sweatshirt very similar to that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get it for the podcast so we can wear our matching sweaters. And then Ron got his, and I remember you emailing me saying, it's a little snug.
A little tight.
I remember putting it on, and I think the sleeves literally came up to about here on me. And that was when I went back to Amazon where I purchased it, and I saw that I bought a youth size.
There you go. Well, let's now that I control the podcast, I can say, let's get things rolling with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Slasher.
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
Brian, what did you bring this week to drown your sorrows in? I think you cut out there. I can't hear you at the moment.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
All right. It's been there's a winter storm Walter has been coming through the area, so that might have had something to do with the poor quality internet. We're recording this on Tuesday night, February 22nd. As I'm sure everybody is aware, today is National Margarita Day. So, you know, who am I to sit there and say no to a federal decree?
Ooh.
So here is my, let me know how I did. I'm not the best when it comes to these kind of things. So what I did was 1.5 ounces of tequila. I doubled the recipe. So I used, 3 ounces of tequila. I did 2 ounces of triple sec. I then did about a, 1.5 ounces of lime juice. I then also purchased this already pre-made mix from Jose Cuervo, ooh, which just put it all in one bottle. So I didn't have to fuck around with any ingredients. Bam.
Nice. Have a sip. Let me know how the pre-mixed margarita by Jose Cuervo is. I don't have high hopes for it. I'm not going to lie. Oh, he's going back for another sip. Can't tell if he likes it or if he's uncertain. We will soon find out.
It tastes unnecessarily sweet.
Okay.
You know how like the lime juice, you know what? I might go and put some more lime juice in because it doesn't really have that citrusy punch that I prefer in my margaritas, though it does feel like there's a lot of corn syrup in here.
All right. We got to balance that out a bit with some bitterness or some acidity. What's the alcohol content on that?
Hold on. I'm going to find it.
All right.
12. It's 12.
You're right there.
Yeah. It's 12.7% alcohol.
All right. Go easy on that. We got an after work to do later.
What are we looking at? Like 25 proof?
Yeah, roughly.
Keep talking. You're good.
Should I tell you what I'm drinking this week, Brian?
Well, let me guess. I'm going to say that you're drinking a margarita because it's National Margarita Day. Ron, tell me about your margarita.
I don't follow the calendar as closely as you do, so I brought a beer to the table. This is another local brewery. This is The Ways Restaurant and Brewery in Glenside, Pennsylvania. This is a beer they call Sunset Rodeo. It is their peach lactose IPA. Brian, you know how much I like lactose. I actually had this on tap in their restaurant on Sunday. Ended up bringing back a 4-pack. This is a 7%. Look at the body of that. It's a hazy IPA. Peach, ooh, lactose. You can see the lactose in there, Brian, can't you?
It has a very a caramel color, if I'm not correct.
It's good. It's not as good as on tap. Definitely better on tap, but a decent beer.
Walk me through the flavor profile. What are you experiencing?
I mean, you get the hops, and then you get a little bit of the sweetness from the peach, and then the creaminess of the lactose at the end.
Now, is that the part that induces the diarrhea in 27 minutes?
I'm pretty sure that's the one. Yes, you are.
Okay, just making sure.
Yep.
Just making sure.
All right. Let's keep things moving along here, Brian. It's time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what's bothered you this week?
I had a I was in a conversation with someone earlier this week, and we started talking about social media. We started exchanging social media accounts.
Okay.
And I showed them my Instagram page, and they proceeded to go into a, how do I describe this politely? They launched into what I felt was a verbal assault on the photos series that I have been doing, taking photos of homeless people in the subway.
And what were they saying, Brian?
They accused me of taking advantage of homeless people. They said that I was glorifying. What was the phrase that they used? They said that I was glorifying the plight of the homeless.
Hmm. And do you feel that you're glorifying it, or are you just trying to bring that to the forefront of the conscience of the nation?
Well, see, this is where I think our society is really starting to fall apart, because the person I was speaking to had absolutely no interest in hearing what my purpose was. They were not listening to what my perspective was. What they were trying to do is tell me that I'm an awful person for taking advantage of homeless people, and were expecting me to sit there and hear that.
So they wanted to speak their truth without allowing you to speak yours.
Yes, yes. So effective immediately, Aunt Mary, you are out of my family. You are dead to me, Aunt Mary.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Me, Brian, you asked?
Ron?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
What's bothering you?
Well, first let me say the seeming lack of circulation going to my arms right now.
You can take that off, by the way. You have my permission to take that off.
I don't know how I can take it off without discombobulating everything. But anyway, I will tell you my actual beef of the week is Joe Biden and the Democrats, Brian. Because as I am often reminded this time of year, that they have yet to repeal any of the Trump tax plan from 2017. So when I compile my taxes and do my return, and I end up yet again having to write a rather significant check to the U.S. government, I take umbrage of that.
Now, is the reason why you owe so much money primarily because you collected so much unemployment last year?
It is not, because I really didn't collect any unemployment last year. I was employed for all of 2021, so that did not factor into my taxes.
I know, Ron. I'm just fucking with you.
You always do, my friend. So, I have to, not yet, obviously, on April 14th, the last possible minute, I will be making a payment to the federal government.
Why would you pay any time sooner?
Exactly. You would not.
Okay. Can I ask a question? And obviously this is coming from a HR perspective.
Sure.
I have so many employees who are like up my ass. Not literally.
Mm. Maybe.
Up my ass asking for W-2s on like January 4th.
That seems a little soon.
What is there? And granted, you have until the end of the month. You have until the end of February to issue all of your 1099s.
Right.
You have until, I believe, the second week of March to issue your 1095Bs.
You know all this.
But what bothers is just people who just constantly, like, what is the rush to file? How much money are you getting back on your taxes? And at what point do you realize you're having too much taken out and adjust your fucking W-4?
I think people don't think of it that way. I mean, so many people loan, you know, money to the federal government with the expectation of, I'm going to get this huge return. Well, no, like you said, just adjust your taxes and keep more. I have to do the opposite. I have to adjust my W-4 and pay additional so I don't get into this situation.
Are you hitting the underpayment penalty?
Of course.
Really?
Yep. Like I said, it was a big number. It was a big number this year, bigger than I anticipated.
Now, how many expenses are you taking off for the podcast business?
I mean, I was able to write off about you know, about $250,000 in expenses. Again, right. I think that'll shift higher with this additional 1% I have.
Well, I mean, the podcast did purchase your home.
Right. Cars. This sweatshirt is now a write-off now that I'm, you know, wearing it on the podcast. So I can deduct that as an expense as well.
Didn't we also employ your wife full time last year?
I believe so. I believe she did some side work. So yes.
Yes. Well, she handled our web store doing all the mailings.
Exactly. It's just frustrating that I will pay the federal government more taxes this year than most major corporations will.
But don't you, your beef here was that the Democrats really have gone into power. They've, they control the House. I don't even know what word you want to say about their position in the Senate at this point. But really they've just consistently failed to push through any type of agenda.
No.
They have in so many ways just been, Ron is such a sexy bastard and I want to make love to his face. Ron is a sexy bastard and I want to make love to his
face. Sorry, I had to get this thing off.
I know that. And that's why I started singing, because I knew you wouldn't hear me. But they've had control since January of 2021.
Yeah.
So we're going on 13 months and they still fail to push through anything that was on their agenda. Literally a ineffective, if you want to go so far, and you know me, I don't like cursing, feckless.
Yes.
They're a feckless political party when they're in power.
That is an excellent word to use. That is a seven-letter word. That is a eight-letter word.
Well, my mother called me feckless quite a bit growing up, so eventually I was going to take out the dictionary and look it up.
Interesting. All right, should we get into some of our stories, Brian? Because we have a good amount of stories this week. Not just COVID. In fact, we may save COVID till later in the episode, because we do have, of course, to talk about COVID and our dead antivaxxers of the week, but we have so much to go with.
This week has provided so much material. Our shared Google Doc has been overflowing with topics for us to discuss. And what's amazing is just how stories that seemed important a week ago, literally, I have zero interest in talking about. I had prepared a 20-minute segment on the show, professionally produced, all about Kanye and Julia Fox's relationship, the ups, the downs, the muse,
Uncut Jams.
They've broken up now. And right now,
doesn't even matter.
No, not even a blip on my freaking radar.
You know who is on our radar, Brian?
Jamie Farr.
No, but a nice reference. Abby Broyles, up on the screen here. She is a candidate for Oklahoma's 5th congressional district. She apparently is now under fire for supposedly verbally attacking several preteen girls while at the home of a friend who was hosting a sleepover with multiple middle school girls present. She apparently continued to drink wine throughout the night, became more and more aggressive. This is according to nondoc.com. The report states that Broyles insulted the girls attending the sleepover after becoming intoxicated, calling one girl a, quote, acme fucker. Another girl.
Whoa. An acme or acne?
Acne fucker. Called another girl a Hispanic fucker. And said another girl was a judgy fucker. She also allegedly vomited into a laundry basket as well as a girl's shoe.
So amazing.
If you can't handle your alcohol. So at first, she tried to claim that she wasn't at the sleepover, that she was out of town, that it was a political attack. But then apparently, you know, there was pictures that showed up on some of the kids' Instagrams showing that she was present. What was it? Oh yeah, so she called one girl judgy fucker for not wanting to sleep with a blanket that she had cleaned up wine with.
What?
So she apparently was on. Here we go. She had anxiety and insomnia. Her friend gave her medication that she had never taken before and had an adverse reaction. Instead of helping me sleep, she hallucinated. "Quote: I don't remember anything until I woke up or came to, and I was throwing up in a hamper."
What are the odds she got like a 10-milligram gummy? Come on, let's be real here.
But it's
listen,
like,
Ron. Listen, Ron. You're a 51% fucker.
I love the fact that she threw up into one of the kids' shoes. I don't know why that humors me as much as it does.
Now, do you not at any point consider that that was part of a game that they were all playing, kind of like a piñata? Or a pin the tail on the donkey. Maybe all the girls lined up their shoes and had this woman say, she's going to vomit in one of these shoes. And if she does vomit, you're the winner.
So like musical chairs almost.
Yes, but you get to walk home wearing one shoe while carrying the other.
All right.
Next question is, yes, were there any boys at this party?
It does not appear that way.
Because I do know, not speaking from experience.
Okay.
But I do know that there are some men who enjoy pouring a beer into a woman's shoe and then drinking from it afterwards. So what I'm thinking is that was this vomiting into the shoe part of a larger game that was going on that where the husband of the woman whose home it was taking place in, who handed out this medication, was he preparing to drink the vomit out of a shoe?
That I have no information on. We can go back and we can maybe follow up next week and see if that was the case.
Now, here's the part of this story that I find fascinating is that she's a Democrat.
She is. Yes. Normally these you would stories, think this possibly would be on the other side of the aisle, but no.
These stories are always Republicans.
Yes, but not this time.
I am shocked and I am shook.
Well, let's keep going with our political stories this week. This next individual, her name is Robin Folsom. She works for the Georgia State Inspector General's office, and she has allegedly faked being pregnant so she could take paid maternity leave. She allegedly made up a fake baby daddy. She actually apparently wore a fake pregnancy belly to work.
Oh, that's hot.
And also then eventually sent an email to her bosses that said she was under doctor's orders for several weeks of bed rest after giving birth in May 2021. But the birth got turned in after a coworker noticed when she had been working. She saw part of the fake stomach come away from her body and filed a report.
Really?
Yes.
Scandalous.
She apparently sent photos to her coworkers of the supposed newborn, but the photos depicted children with varying skin tones, even though they're the same child. The father of her child, Bran Otmembebwe, was a made-up person, but when pressed by investigators in October 21, Folsom doubled down and said he really existed. She has been indicted and will be obviously charged about this. I'm assuming that's fraud of some way, shape,
so she actually went so far as to show photos of babies?
Correct, and say that they were her newborn.
Now, why is it that when I go around the office showing pictures of babies, people tell me to put my phone away?
maybe you're disturbing them in some way, shape, or form.
I feel like there's a double standard, Ron. I feel like I'm a victim of a double standard.
Let's see here. What else do we have? We've got a banned airline passenger who spit on a cop and defecated in a patrol car after fleeing on a motorized suitcase, which I didn't even realize that was such a thing. Here we have another photo up on the screen here. This is Chelsea Alston. This actually happened back in April of 21. At the Orlando International Airport. She had planned to board. She had planned to board a Southwest Airlines flight, but a gate agent told her she appeared too intoxicated and refused to allow her to take the flight. Things broke down from there. Police got involved.
Was she drinking Jose Cuervo pre-made margarita mix?
I'm not sure. Unfortunately, you know, these news stories don't go into that level of detail that you're looking for. But a police officer literally had to chase her on a bike to catch her as she rode off on her motorized luggage. But the funny thing is the police officer tells the woman, you know, you just need to go over to the terminal, sober up a little bit, get another flight, to which she responds, fuck you, suck my dick, before riding off on her motorized luggage.
Now, why don't we have video of that?
We'll have to work on that.
Actually, Ron, I believe I said something similar to you as the Super Bowl was winding down.
You were unhappy, yes. So again, she was arrested. She spit on the officer and then allegedly defecated in the patrol car, leaving about $1,200 worth of damage. She was reportedly charged with battery of a police officer and released on $13,500 bond.
All right, let's talk about this for a moment here, Ron.
Yes, please.
Can you defecate on demand? And I don't mean external demand. I don't mean like somebody walks into your office and says, hey, Ron, I need you to shit right now. I mean, like, can you sit there and just get yourself worked up to a place where you're going to be like, oh, I'm shitting my pants right now? Like,
I think it depends. I think if I've been drinking, if I've been involved in a high stress situation, like a high speed chase on a motorized piece of luggage against a bicycling police officer, you know, that can get something brewing. I could potentially, I could push something out is what I'm saying.
Oh, God damn it. I was not expecting that. Yeah, I just find it so, when it comes to, dropping deuces, like I need to have like such a calm, relaxing environment. I need mood lighting. I need a waterfall sound effects in the background.
Sure.
I need wind chimes. I need somebody repeating a mantra, you know, outside of the exactly. Yes, that's what I need. That will get the lower colon area to start relaxing. There is no way you could be like, gotta poop now, and I'm just going to be able to do it.
Are you pee shy also?
No, I've had times where I've been pee shy, but it hasn't happened in years. There were times where I would go to like a concert, and you know they would have the urinal stalls with no dividers, or I would go to maybe like a bar where they had one of those like old school trough styles.
Right.
And you get up there and you stand and you just kind of wait. And there's a guy standing like up maybe like, you know, 8 inches away from you. This was clear pre-COVID.
Right.
It was pre-COVID, people. And, you would just stand there and you would realize that they're probably realizing that there's only one stream going into the trough. So yeah, there have been times in my life that I've been pee shy, but I would say it hasn't happened in probably about a decade. I've gotten through that. That was embarrassing whenever that would happen.
All right. There's a gentleman.
But am I poop shy? Definitely.
All right.
Definitely poop shy at work. Okay. This is another one. And I think we've spoken about this in the bathroom in my office. There are three stalls.
Okay.
One two, three. Not to be confused with A, B, C. I'm amazed at the aggressiveness, the alpha male behavior of some of my coworkers when they are going into the men's room to drop a deuce and they take the center stall as their location to drop the deuce.
That's a real aggressive play right there.
It boggles my mind. Like, and like, I know that I'm not necessarily the world's most considerate person. I like to take pictures of homeless people. So right off the bat, I'm the asshole. But it's like, what you do is like, if there's three, you take one of the ends.
Right.
This way it allows somebody to have that buffer space. And if they have to come in, they'll take the other end.
So apparently Janelle's letting us know that when she goes into a men's room, she is also taking the center stall. Was not aware of that.
Why would you take the center stall?
That's that's overly aggressive behavior. You would take the furthest down, personally, I think.
Furthest away. Because the first one is where the lazy people go, and that's when they pee all over the toilet seat.
Are there urinals next to that first stall, or is it just stalls?
There are three stalls, and then at the end, there are two urinals.
Okay.
On the opposite side of the wall are the sinks.
Got it. You take the stall furthest away from the urinals, in my opinion.
Correct. The first one. I don't understand, because what you're guaranteeing by taking that center stall is that if somebody else has to go, they're sitting next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's absolutely no way that my rectum will relax enough if someone's sitting just literally like a foot and a half away from me.
Right.
Another one. See, I could go. I know this is a tangent. You're 51%. Cut me off at any moment. But I am amazed at the comfort that my male coworkers have when sitting in the toilet, dropping a deuce, literally no courtesy flushes, concept that the noises that's emitting out of their body as they're releasing is something they should try to dampen down.
Dial it down a little bit. I mean, you sound like you work in a very alpha male office, Brian.
It is a construction, but I work on the office side, which is a little bit more beta. It's not, you know, I imagine the field, you're turning a lot of porta potties.
There you go. Well, let's cut bathroom stall content down a bit and let's move on to our next story. Not that I do love bathroom stall content. Don't get me wrong.
I love bathroom stall. I literally could spend an hour doing it.
We have so many stories to get to. This next one, a Southern California man who was arrested three times in 16 hours last week, a gentleman by the name of James Langdon. We've got his mugshot right here. Clearly representing a very bad day. His first arrest happened around 3 a.m. in Glendale in Los Angeles after he allegedly led police on a foot pursuit when officers tried to cite him for jaywalking. He was then
jaywalking. Yes, that's not a crime.
He was arrested for alleged obstruction and taken to a hospital after he requested medical attention. He was later released and ordered to appear in court. Excuse me. Several hours later, he was arrested for a second time for allegedly trespassing inside a Glendale business after employees said they found him trying to enter a closed area with a screwdriver, arrested for trespassing, but released 3 hours later due to the county's emergency $0 bail order. And then around 7 o'clock, so he's had a pretty full day, gets arrested at 3 a.m., gets arrested in the morning later on. And then around 7 o'clock, officers responding to reports of a break-in at a city apartment allegedly found him in the hallway outside of an apartment where the resident said the door was left ajar and things had been moved around. When Langdon saw officers, he allegedly ran back into the empty apartment and barricaded himself inside. Officers set up a perimeter and eventually were able to negotiate him to come out. He was arrested for felony vandalism, causing about $6,000 in damage to the apartment and the building. That time, he ended up remaining in jail on $150,000 bail after his third arrest.
What happened to his tooth?
There's many questions looking at this photo. What happened? Why has he got kind of a black eye there?
I'm going to hope that a cop punched him.
Why did he decide to frost his tips? When I look at that hair, it's not a great dye job that he has going on, but there definitely seems to be some blonde going on there.
But did they say smile when they said we have to take your photo? Because it literally is just like, or is it like, did he think he was, is he so far gone in terms of his hold on to reality? Did he think he was at the dentist and he was leaving an impression for his Invisalign?
And I'm not sure what's more disturbing, like the top row of teeth, which would appear to be fangs of some sort.
Well, there's definitely a chip up there.
Or the length of his bottom row of teeth. Like that, like his bottom teeth are longer than his top teeth. And it's frightening. I will have nightmares about this.
Well, it also appears to be somewhat shifted. Like it feels like his jaw's like, you know, doing one of those motions. See, I bet this guy could defecate in a jail cell. Like, no problem. No need for, like, you know, to have the room to himself. He would just walk over to the toilet, plop his butt down, and drop the deuce with, like, 24 other men sitting along the edges. How do you get arrested? Like, okay, we're just pontificating here.
Sure.
We're not, this is not based on any actual knowledge of what. If you had to guess what drugs he was on.
Okay. I'd go probably meth, I'm thinking.
I kind of have to agree with you. It's the poor man's cocaine.
The frosted tips lead me to believe crystal meth. Just my take on it.
I'm more fascinated in trying to figure out how he chipped his tooth. Like, I feel like he was like trying to open a beer bottle of some type. Maybe he was...
Maybe he jimmied the lock on the apartment with his teeth.
Well, when you got that kind of jagged edge, you can really work some wonders in terms of maneuvering things. Yeah, it looks like, I hope he gets the help that he needs.
Let's hope. Thoughts and prayers, as we always say.
TMP!
This story... frightening for a number of reasons from the photo and from the entire story. But again, it's a tale of making sure that you store your leftovers properly. This is the story of a 19-year-old college student who developed sepsis and lost his legs and fingers after eating Chinese takeout food and what a doctor described as a perfect storm of events. We'll put up a photo here. Hopefully you all aren't too squeamish.
For the squeamish, I'm just going to say, you know, before we put the photo up, look away. You know, if you are not a fan of watching open sores on the human body, I'm going to say now would be a good time before we put the photo up to look away.
But now you can't. Now you have to stare right at it.
This was leftover Chinese food leftovers that had been sitting in a refrigerator for some period.
Yes, apparently. I don't know if they had an exact period of time as to how long they were in the fridge, but he ended up with Neisseria meningitis, which caused his blood to clot and his liver to fail. This is back in March 2021. It was first reported in the New England Journal of Medicine. The student was admitted to Massachusetts General Hospital. He was suffering from shock, multiple organ failure, skin mottling, and a rapidly progressive reticular rash.
Now, what was interesting is the fact that as he was being admitted into, where was this again?
Massachusetts General Hospital.
General Hospital. What was most ironic was that he arrived at the hospital at the wedding banquet for Luke and Laura, where they were all served Chinese food to all of their guests.
Let's say, for those of us that are 45 and older listening, we'll all get that reference. Otherwise,
that was I would say that that was a 1987 reference. Brian really keeping it cutting edge. Brian making sure that, you know, we stay hip, we stay cool. All the kids who are you know, are out there saying, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to, you know, these two white guys in their late 40s, maybe they're speaking to the streets and I show up here with a Luke and Laura reference. Amen.
Anyway, the student was vomiting. He had abdominal pain, shortness of breath. His temperature was over 105 degrees. Heart rate was 166 beats per minute. And his respiratory rate was 28 breaths per minute. So at least he survived.
It looks like he was a big boy to begin with.
That is true.
But let's not body shame. I have a question. I have several questions.
Okay.
One, when these photos are being taken, do you think that he's aware that there's going, that these photos are going to be published in medical journals throughout the country? Like, do you think when they say, hey, hold on a second, I'm just going to move the lighting a little bit because we really want to capture the purpling stains on your stomach. Like, do you think he's aware of this or do you think he's just not in a good headspace?
I don't think he's noticing. And if he is noticing, he's not overly concerned. He's concerned with the fact that they had to, cut off his parts of all of his fingers and his legs as well.
All right. Next question, Ron. Yeah. What kind of leftover Chinese food do you think, would you wager, if you had to guess, what kind of Chinese food do you think he was eating?
Well, apparently, lo mein chicken and rice.
Was it chicken lo mein or was it lo mein chicken and rice?
Lo mein, comma, chicken, comma, and rice.
All right. Question number three, and this will be your final question.
Yes.
What is your personal philosophy for leftovers? How long are you okay reheating or eating leftovers that are in your fridge from the day that they were either first made, cooked, whatnot? What is your, where do you draw the line?
Typically 3 to 4 days.
3 to 4 days. All right.
I just don't understand why you have leftover Chinese food.
Well, you've never have leftover Chinese food?
Yeah, usually I order I order the dinner meal and that's enough food for me to eat and not really need leftovers.
We're doing a little ASMR.
Pouring yourself another margarita there, I see.
Yeah. It is National Margarita Day. You didn't have one, so I need to have two. Now, is it always 3-4 days, depending on it? Does it depend on what the food is?
Like, yeah,
there sometimes. Are certain things that will last longer.
Yeah, I think so. I think if it's like a meat or a chicken, it lasts a little bit longer than a vegetable that I think might go mushier. It's a texture thing for me, though.
All righty. How many purple sores need to break out on your body before you seek medical treatment?
I mean, you know, I think, you know, 3 to 4 also. Just keep the numbers simple so I can remember them.
By the way, I would also like to point out, yes, take the picture down. First off, language, we can't. Not with that type of language. This is the better photo. And I know Janelle's not understanding it right now, but there were several photos that were taken, especially of the feet that were later amputated.
Yeah.
That we chose not to put up.
I don't want to say it's my favorite line of the story, but it's the most telling line. It says, after getting parts of all fingers and his legs below his knees amputated, the man went on to have a, quote, relatively good recovery. Like, all right.
Okay.
You've lost all your fingers and your legs. I guess anything like would be relatively good after that.
Well, at least he didn't have his penis degloved.
We remember that. Brian, just so we can catch up on things, what are you watching?
Oh, Better Call Saul. I'm halfway through season 3.
All right.
You know me. I'm, you know, for a while there, I was trying to keep up with things that were being released, trying to stay up to it. When it comes to Better Call Saul, I know there is a new season that they will be airing in the next month or so, I believe. So I've been steaming through Better Call Saul. What an incredible show. I think this is my second or third time going through it. So many little things that I missed the first time around. So I'm truly enjoying it. Ron, what are you watching?
So I caught a movie this week. I watched Licorice Pizza, the new Paul Anderson film. It was good, but I couldn't really tell you what like the story was. It was just like a story of a couple kids growing up on the West Coast. And
What I've heard is that it is very good on acting. It's very good on dialogue. It's very strong on creating an emotion of a time, a place, an age, and whatnot. But the plot is very weak.
Yep. And Bradley Cooper has a great cameo as John Peters.
Who's John Peters?
He dated Barbara Streisand for a while.
So is this based on real events?
No, but they you know, it's kind of like, you know, they kind of placed it in with some actual characters, I think, to give it a timeliness of when the movie was supposed to be set.
Now, at any point, did Bradley Cooper come on and say that this has got to stop?
He did not. Not during that. I also caught the first couple episodes of the new show Severance on Apple TV. That's the new show that Ben Stiller wrote. So the premise is that's
the one
with Adam Scott.
Yes, where he becomes a miniature.
No, that is not quite it. So the premise is you can have this surgery done so that what your work memories and your personal memories remain completely separate. So when you are at work, all you know is the people you work with and the experiences you have there. When you leave work, all you know about is what is outside of work. If you ran into a coworker on the street, you wouldn't recognize them. But of course, there is nefarious things at play. So first two episodes were pretty good. It's been coming out every week. I watched the end of Peacemaker. Would recommend finishing Peacemaker if you haven't done it.
What if I haven't started Peacemaker?
Now is the perfect time because all the episodes are out.
Did you finally catch the end of the Boba Fett book?
I did, just for you. I watched the last couple episodes of Boba Fett yesterday, just to make sure that we could talk about it today.
Billy, this is for you. Now, what were your thoughts about the Book of Boba Fett? Because I have very strong opinions on a story that I did not care about when it first came out.
Okay. I think it kind of, it jumped around a bit. I think the first few episodes, you know, were decent, and you were getting some Boba Fett kind of backstory after the Sarlacc pit incident in Return of the Jedi. Then it became like season 1.5 of The Mandalorian for a few episodes. And then it just kind of wrapped up at the end and kind of set things up, obviously, for, I don't know whether it's going to be, you know, the next season of The Mandalorian, another season of Boba Fett, and a whole other series in and of itself. So it was good, but it was, very disjointed.
I could not, growing up as a kid, you know, when the original Star Wars trilogy came out, my friends were obsessed with Boba Fett, the bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the movies. I didn't even remember who the fuck Boba Fett was. But people were like, oh, Boba Fett. Anyway, so now they're making this series, The Book of Boba Fett. And I was like, all right, I'm going to learn about the character for the first time. A couple episodes go by. I get it. I see what they're doing. It does not seem to be particularly well done. And then, like you said, it just immediately shifts to, well, let's tie this back to The Mandalorian And then suddenly let's bring Baby Yoda back. And everyone is just going to sit there and be like, oh,
and let's bring young Luke Skywalker back as well with much better. Much better CGI and character de-aging than was at the end of the season of Mandalorian.
I read that Disney went out and hired one of the guys that does deep fake videos on social media because his deep fakes were so much better than what they were capable of doing that they hired him to do the Luke Skywalker, which if you notice was way better than the Luke Skywalker scene at the end of The Mandalorian.
Agreed. Much, much better. So let's Billy's unpacking a lot for us here. He says the Mandalorian episodes are each named chapter. The Book of Boba Fett is a sub chapter of that.
Go back.
All right.
What the fuck does that mean?
So, well,
the Mandalorian episodes are each named chapters.
Right.
The Book of Boba Fett is a subchapter?
A subchapter of the Mandalorian. So it's not its own story. It's a subchapter of the Mandalorian.
Oh, see, I wish I had known that in advance.
And Mandalorian isn't necessarily about just the one character. It could be Din Djarin, Boba Fett, or even Grogu.
I'm going to tell you something. A little bit of me just died when Billy typed the word Din Djarin and you were able to pronounce Djarin without any type of struggle. A little part of me just died. Who the fuck is Din Djarin?
That's the Mandalorian's actual name in the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was the Mandalorian.
Well, he is, but he has an actual name.
Has he ever taken off his helmet?
He has, unfortunately.
Well, that is not the way.
That's not the way, most definitely.
So the Book of Boba Fett is a part of the tale of the Mandalorian?
But I thought all of this was just a sub chapter of Star Wars.
That's what I thought, and I was okay with that. It was all part of the Star Wars metaverse.
Right. I don't know. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think, is the next Star Wars TV show that will come out.
Now, is that a subchapter of The Mandalorian?
I believe it's a meta chapter of the original trilogy.
Can we start calling each other a meta mate?
Well, as we have often said, the Ron and Brian metaverse will be coming soon.
It will be. It will be coming
near you.
It will be coming. It will be announced. Plans are in the works. It's taking us a little bit longer as the word metaverse was recently taken by Facebook and its parent company Meta. So we are we're dealing with some trademark issues.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, we will also see the metaverse, Brian. Our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Brian, who is your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
Ron, can you please pull up a photo of Abby Fekete?
Yeah, I can't help you with that one.
Ah, feck it. Nothing? I thought that was good. Feck it. God damn it, Ron. That deserved better. This lovely woman, I'm assuming this was a photo taken on a family vacation at Niagara Falls. 33, mother of four in Simcoe, Ontario. Under normal circumstances, Abby would have never come across my radar. Unfortunately, earlier this week, she did in a terribly unfortunate way. Abby was a mother of a 6-year-old daughter, a 9-year-old son, and was pregnant with twins. Now, early on during this current pandemic, Abby became quite active on Facebook, posting anti-vaccine, government mandates. She was a very large proponent of the plandemic I guess you call that a mockumentary, because we agreed that wasn't real, right?
Right. Agreed.
I'm constantly posting videos from right-wing media sources that were questioning COVID restrictions, COVID behavior, mask wearing. Even this was all prior to vaccinations coming out. She then started to become a proponent of Candace Owens. And we all know what happens when you start quoting Candace Owens. Usually you die from being unvaccinated. Unfortunately, as recent as early January, she was still talking about COVID-19 tests not being accurate and whatnot. At 35 weeks pregnant and fighting COVID, she was had to go into the emergency room for a C-section. Thankfully, her daughters are healthy. Unfortunately, Abby Feckett, I'm butchering her name, and that is doing a disservice to her because she deserves to have her name pronounced properly. Unfortunately, she did pass away from COVID. One of the things that truly irks me about the dead anti-vaxxer bit that we do are people who have the responsibility of others in their lives and do not take those and do not act accordingly in the manner that I think the science and the data suggests. So here you had a woman who was pregnant, who had two children. Now she is dead. She has four children, two who are incredibly young, two who will never meet her, who will never know their mother because she decided she did not believe in getting the vaccine. Unfortunately, Abby, you are no longer with us. Your children are, and I hope that they're being taken care of by family members that love them.
All right. A pretty good candidate that you brought this week for a dead anti-vaxxer of the week. If I may share my candidate this week.
Of course you can.
This gentleman right here, this is Brandon Fiddler.
Let's go, Brandon!
From Wayland, Michigan. He is a truck driver. I believe he's also lead singer of Queens of the Stone Age. And also an anti-vaxxer. And at the age of 36, he is now dead from COVID. Interesting story. His wife is a nurse / paranormal investigator. He spent the majority of making social media posts against the vaccine, such as this one that responded to a friend, and he said, "So the shots are a vaccine now officially? Mixed opinions from our government and their agencies. I mean, I already have the antibodies using the good old-fashioned, proven and natural way, and haven't been sick since then in November 2019. So a big proponent of our immune system.
So he's saying that his immune system from before COVID existed.
Should it's his immune system would adapt and keep him from catching COVID.
Logic.
Early February posts on February 4th showing that he gets COVID. Then he ends up going onto a ventilator and a dialysis. Also, at that point, he decides, you know what? If I get better, I think I'm going to get this vaccine now. However, better did not happen as February 11th, he passed away at the age of 36, leaving behind his wife, Kathy, and his daughter, Zoe. Again, another death that could have been prevented. So those two are our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
The coughing really really sells that bit. I can't help it,
but I think we should be running out of dead anti-vaxxers of the week, Brian, because as we were discussing before we came on the podcast, the pandemic appears to be over.
It's over. It's done with. No more need.
And Boston, both rescinding their vaccine mandates for going to restaurants and sporting events. Mask really? Mandates falling left and right.
New York, New Jersey, Connecticut.
that we have beaten COVID. The United States has out of the pandemic. Brian, how good does it feel?
I'm going to tell you why I'm excited about all of this.
All right. I want to hear.
Because earlier today, I purchased two tickets to go on a Carnival cruise.
What?
Because they just announced that they're ending all mask mandates for their guests. You can now go on a cruise, which we know an incredibly safe activity. You can now go on a cruise. You don't need to wear a mask at any point on the cruise because you're in international waters. Carnival cruise, everybody is safe. The pandemic is over. And when I return from this cruise, if I'm still alive, I will be going to Coachella, who also announced that they're dropping all COVID mandates. No need to be vaccinated. No need to wear a mask or socially distance. Let's just pack 100,000 people in the middle of California so we can watch somebody with ASAP with a dollar sign in his name. And I don't know who the rest of his name's going to be, but I know there's about 40 of them. David Crosby will also be doing an acoustic set.
But yet people are still getting COVID. Justin Bieber tested positive for COVID. Had to cancel a Las Vegas show. And Queen Elizabeth.
The Queen?
Well, canceling all of her virtual appearances. Apparently, Prince Charles and Carmella also, or Camilla. What's her name? Camilla? Camellia?
Camilla.
Camilla.
Camilla!
Positive.
Somehow Prince Andrew got away unscathed this past week.
I mean, apart from sexual assault settlement he had.
Yes.
He fared better than Jeffrey Epstein's friend, Jean-Luc Brunel, who hung himself alone in a Paris jail with no CCTV. Brunel, age 76, found hanging in a cell in La Santé, Paris at 1 a.m. during a nighttime check-in.
Now, is that the same hotel Bourdain was found in?
I believe not, because that was a prison that he was in, and Anthony Bourdain was in a hotel.
I know. I was just trying to be funny.
You're being silly. You're just
a silly little goose. Yes.
Just be careful out there, people. Pandemic's not really over, but everyone's going to start acting like it is.
Yeah. Let me say this.
All right.
I do believe that we should take actions that are in line with the state of the environment at the time. When positivity rates are in the double digits, in the high double digits, when hospital room availabilities is at a minimum or taxed, when there are refrigerated trucks filled with bodies, when they're using
forklifts.
I don't know why. I'm such a fucking idiot because I always want to say pitchforks. When they're using forklifts to take the bodies out of the hospitals, like when that's going on, I think we need to change our behavior. When things are relatively safe, I think we can relax the restrictions on what our behavior can be. I don't think you can just say one behavior, regardless of the environment of the medical safety of the world that's going on. As somebody who is living in New York right now, where I believe we're at maybe like a 3 or a 4% positivity rate, I feel comfortable walking outside without a mask on. However, End of December, I was wearing a mask outside. Sure. Early January, I was wearing a mask outside because Omicron was running rampant through the New York tri-state metropolitan area. Now that the numbers have literally collapsed by comparison to where they were just 6 weeks ago, I feel much safer walking around without a mask outside.
I'm just now envisioning people using pitchforks to throw bodies on refrigerated trucks.
Okay. Now, you know me. I don't like to volunteer. I don't believe in giving away my time and effort for free. I believe that I should be compensated for things that I do. But if you're going to hand me a pitchfork and you're going to give me a pile of bodies and you're going to say, get these bodies into that thing right there using this pitchfork, we're going to leave for about a half an hour. Have at it.
You're going for it. I got it.
I think I would get better as the day went on. Like, I think the first 5 minutes would just be abject failure.
Sure.
But I think, as you know, I started to figure out exactly where within I imagine the torso is where you really got to stab first.
I'm thinking if you could like kind of hook the tines of the pitchfork in between like the ribs, that's going to give you the best grip.
Because you've got the fulcrum point at that moment when flipping them over. Like if you step into if you try and get the back of both kneecaps.
Nah, too much.
All the weight is still off the pitchfork. You want to get center into the body.
Yep. It just makes sense. It's just smart.
It's just good science. Right now out there, my physics teacher is watching the show being like, fulcrum point. He was listening.
I got through. How do I reach these kids?
These kids!
Brian, who do we lose this week? Talk to me about fucking A.
First off, today, Mark Lanegan, lead singer of the Screaming Trees, Seattle grunge band from the mid-90s, their big hit, Nearly Lost You. Ooh, that was close. Was a staple. It was a staple on college radio back in the day. But, we lost Mark Lanegan. I do not know. Have they announced what he passed away from yet?
Not as of yet, no.
But I'm assuming they will at some point. Also, not the biggest celebrity death this past week. Ivan Reitman. Director, producer, Hollywood extraordinaire. He directed Ghostbusters. He directed Stripes. Dead at the age of 75. 25 points were on the line if you had picked him in the Ron and Brian Death Pool.
But no one did. Bob Beckel, former co-host of Fox News's The Five, passing away at the age of 73. He had been sick for a while. I believe fighting cancer of some sort, and then passing away, obviously, today. And then we also lost.
And you know how I feel about people who work for Fox.
Yes, you are a fan. You hold them close to your heart. And then whatchamacallit? Bernie Madoff's sister, Sandra Wiener, age 87, and her spouse, Marvin, found dead in Florida in an apparent murder-suicide. Their lives were also destroyed by Madoff's Ponzi scheme. They apparently had also given him their life savings as well. But they were discovered dead from gunshot wounds in their home.
Madoff's dead, right?
Yes, he did pass away.
Okay. Just making sure. Hillary got to him.
Good point from Billy. Still 0 points earned in the 2022 Ron and Brian Death Pool by anyone.
Technically, Ron is still tied for the lead, is what you're saying.
And Brian.
Ooh.
And one more story before we get out of here.
I
found this story fascinating. So a Catholic priest in Phoenix has resigned from his position after a church investigation found that he had incorrectly performing baptisms over his 20-year career. Apparently, there is a portion where he would say, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But apparently, instead of saying, "We baptize," he should have said, "I baptize," and because of that omission, it technically nullifies all of the baptisms that he has done over the last 20 years. And now there are other priests across the country that have come forth and say, oh, I've been saying we as well. So apparently you've got all these baptized people out there that technically in the eyes of the Lord are not baptized.
Which is odd, because when I was doing the Pledge of Allegiance, when I was in elementary school, I would say, I, the people.
That's why you don't deserve 1%.
Jesus Christ. Listen, my opinion on my stance on organized religion is unchanged. It's absolutely ludicrous that you're going to tell me that there are dozens, hundreds, if not thousands of people that are going to go to hell because this guy used the word I instead of we instead of I. Semantics. You lose me on semantics. I mean, you would have to say, you know, as somebody, you know, I'm anti-semantic.
That's a better pun. I think you don't go to hell if you're not baptized. I think that you end up in purgatory for that.
But what happens when you're in purgatory? Isn't that also an unpleasant place?
It's unpleasant, but I don't think it's hell unpleasant.
So hold on a second. Let's make a deal here. Right. How do I get to purgatory?
I mean, you'd have to be a lot nicer than you've been to move up to hell to purgatory.
So you're saying that the volunteering with the pitchforks is not a good place
trying to avoid. The optics are poor. All right. Well, I think, Brian, we've done one of our better shows here tonight. I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, but this has been a solid hour and 11 minutes of content. And that can only mean one thing. We are getting ready for After Dark in just a scant 18 minutes from now, which, Brian, if they want to join us After Dark, how do they do that?
Go to our website, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click the link in the upper right-hand corner. Become a Patreon. Support the show. Listen, every week we do at least 60 minutes of free content, regardless of where you are in this planet. If you are in Zimbabwe, if you are in Switzerland, if you are in Spain, if you are in New Mexico, you can watch this show. You can listen to this show. You get 60 minutes of some of the best content that we can come up with absolutely free. However, people have reached out to us and said, how can we help? How can we support this show? One of the ways you can do it is by becoming a Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you help Ron and myself offset some of the costs that go into operating the show. It is not free. It is not, we do this for the love. We're not doing this for the money. So the money that we are making from the podcast, from the Patreon, goes right back into the show. We've been offered paid sponsors. We've been offered live reads. We've rejected them all. Not interested. However, one of the ways that we do that, what we do is every week after we do the podcast, we set aside stories that are not quite family friendly, that YouTube would not necessarily approve of. Maybe they're sexy. Maybe they're spicy. Maybe they involve Olympic skiers who freeze their penis off. And maybe that's the kind of stories that we're going to go into detail about. That's the kind of thing you're interested in, a little frozen penis action. Join the Patreon. $5 gets you the audio copy. For a $10 level, I believe that's the bronze level, you get a link that allows you to watch live. Like, you get the live stream as we do the show. We will be starting in about 15 minutes. There's still time. If you're watching this live, join our Patreon. Help the show. It's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. We do have upper tiers that do require more money than $10. You get added benefit, swag. You get coffee mugs. You get coasters, face masks. I will blow you. I mean, literally, it's
a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We are going to get ready for After Dark. Brian, is there anything else you want to say this week?
I love you. I love anybody watching this show. And all I ask of anybody that's listening at this moment is to try to, at some point, do something nice for another person each day.
All right. That's a good idea. Well, I love you too, my friend. I love all of you. Thank you for joining us. We will be back on Sunday night next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here. We will catch you then. Until then, Patreon folks, we'll see you in a few minutes. Everybody else, we will see you Sunday night.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.